Welcome to the House of Manna. Thank you for downloading the podcast. We pray that it's a blessing to you. We thank you that you are tuning in to the message this week from the House of Manna. As Pastor Marty begins to minister to you in this message, let it be a blessing unto your spirit and to your soul. God bless you. Hope you enjoy. I sense something in the atmosphere, and it's not good. For those of you that do not understand discerning of spirits and discerning of an atmosphere, let me help you. That is a gift that God has given us all for us to discern of the spirits, to discern. And it's not for us to go through and do some sort of deliverance. It's to understand what has crept in. You can have the greatest victory when you trust in God and rely only on God. But the moment that you think that your flesh can give you a victory, you'll lose the smallest battle against the smallest army that you have ever faced. The Bible says that Joshua said, God, what happened? And God replied, there is sin in the camp. Before we go any further, do not let the devil deceive you, even though that is his nature. Do not forget the nature in which God has given you to be an overcomer. But when you submit yourself, when you submit yourself to the very thing that the enemy is presenting you, don't think that grace is just going to cover it every time you decide to do it. Sin is sin. There's nothing I can do about that. Sin is sin. And don't look at me all strange, Pastor. Why are you talking about sin? We all have it. But what happens when you decide to continually walk in that very thing that you know is already wrong? And then get angry at God because you think that the grace is no longer there and it's time for me to move on. You can face the greatest wall that was ever built against to oppose you as long as you let God fight that battle. And not only that, you don't even have to lift up anything. All you got to do is walk in after the wall crumbles and take the spoils. But it's when you think that you can hide just a little something. He says there's something in the tent. Speaking of your house. Speaking about hiding something that you don't want anybody to see, but God sees it. And if you don't make it right, I don't care what kind of theology you grew up in. God is going to deal with that very thing because he loves you. Some of us don't like to hear the belt getting snapped or the twig getting pulled off. Or the clickety-clack of the heels walking down the hallway to find you. The whooping is necessary to make change in your life. But when you think you can hide from God, then every battle that you're up against, you're going to lose. This enemy has crept in, and I've been giving you forewarning for the past 2 months. The enemy is going to cause dissension and division. I don't feel right. Something's wrong. I need to move to another place. You're going to miss it. God has sent you to a place for a reason. Some of y'all may not like the message tonight. I don't like it either. Because it applies to me. And if it applies to me, don't think you ain't going to get it. You don't get it. It's all right. It's because he loves us. But it's when you think you can hide the very thing that you think is okay. It's that thing that God is saying, I've been asking that of you. I've been asking that. When you going to give it to me? You don't want to give it to me? This battle that you should have won, you're going to lose. For some of y'all to think that the Old Testament has been done away with because Jesus came, it's symbolic of what is to come. Its symbolism is that you need Jesus for the atoning of your sin. Yes, amen. But even Jesus said, go and sin no more. He didn't say, because I died for you, go do what you want to do. Here's the ticket. Get on board and do everything you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and who you want to do it with. He said, I paid a price. But go and sin no more. Don't worry, I ain't going to list them. I ain't Jesus writing in the dirt and people walking away from the eldest first. No, I know when something creeps in. We got all this kind of momentum moving forward. Yes. All kinds of favor being displayed. Yes. I don't even want to share the pearls. Amen. Amen. I'm sad. Because God has been trying to get his people to a place. And the first thing that always happens is we get bitter at things that we can control. But we look on putting on everybody else. Well, because Elder looked at me funny today. He does that to me every day. He's supposed to be an elder. Elder ain't even helping me. Elder's hurting me. It's about time you get over that little pity potty you've been living in for too long. Maybe it's something you said, something you did, that people look at you funny. Why don't we own it? That's me. That's me. I don't like people looking me up and down. I don't like it. And when they look at me up and down, they're judging me. So I'm going to judge them back. What good is that doing to edify the body of Christ? Nothing. And those who quickly want to judge, well, you know what? I don't feel the Spirit. Maybe you don't haven't felt the Spirit in I don't know how long. Well, how about we just get to that point where we just start loving people? Uniting people. And everybody got sin. We all got it. And you think you're righteous. The Bible gives you a good explanation of what your righteousness is. It's like filthy rags. That's what he says. So when you think that person they're not Holy Ghost filled, you're really looking in the mirror, beholding yourself. So here's what I want to tell you. Your life and the things that you choose in your life, don't get mad at everybody else. Those are the choices you made, right? Yeah. Oh, we can agree real good right now. But come the tonight about 11 o'clock when you're about ready to make that booty call. It's about time you stop all that. We can't advance the church. We can't advance the kingdom. And we're so busy making late night phone calls, making sure that we can get a little something. We have got to hold ourselves righteous and be upholding in the presence of God as much as that we can. But we all caught up in all kinds of fleshy things because it feels good for a moment. That's the trick of the enemy. And then we wonder why all kinds of things are in chaos. Was that a little bit too rough for you? Okay, let me back up a bit. Let me get spiritual just for a minute. I'm going to get spiritual. It's all right. Because y'all don't like this. Y'all think I'm mad all the time. No, I'm sad. I'm tired of seeing people lose it. All for just a brief moment. God has given me message after message. Warn them. Warn them what is coming. Warn them. But yet no one will perceive that a prophet is in the area. And speaking of a forewarning that is coming to the body, and they think, I got this. You better check yourself because you are wrecking yourself. And it's hurting each and every one of us. If I'm on an upward climb, don't pull on my heels. Maybe push my heels. Because as you're pushing me to go up, someone's pushing you to go higher. But the moment you start grabbing and start pulling back, we all begin to go back. And it's the easy things we slip into. It's the things we're used to. The reason why God spoke to Joshua, this ain't the message, just hold up. The reason why God spoke to Joshua that there was sin in the camp, Joshua knew, I got to go do an inspection on every tent. And when I find it, because I will find it, he went through and started looking. Who was once a thief, always a thief. Let me find the thief. There he is. Hiding it within your tent, under the covers, under the mat. In other words, you've been laying on the very thing that God's been trying to tell you to get up and walk away from. But you carry it with you. You don't want to let it go. God wants you to get past that so he can bring you in to a better place. Amen? Now, can some of you tell me, now we're going to transition in. I'm going to leave you guys alone a little bit. Because I'm getting whooped too. Y'all, I should come out mean today. You mad. I'm mad at myself too. Should have went to go work out. Paid my debt. Should have worked out. I got up early too. You know how we do? We get ready. I'm ready. I'm going to go. I'm going to get up early. You get up early. Next thing you know, you're back asleep. You know when you're supposed to intercede? Well, I'm tired. I'll just get to it later, God. I'll just think it in my head because you know my thoughts. How come you ain't thinking no more? It's a trick of the enemy. I'll fall prey to it too. But when I sense the spirit becoming very, very aggressive within the body, I get aggressive. Put your hands on my children or my wife. I don't care about words. I don't care about that. You ain't know by now. I don't care what y'all think of me. But when you put your hands on something that's precious in my life, then I'm going to put my hand on you. Now, when I sense that the enemy is coming in and trying to divide and devour, well, I'm going to put my hand on him. How do I put my hand on him? With the word and understanding what God has given me. Amen? Because the first thing the enemy wants to do is disrupt momentum. You ever got on a skateboard and you're going real good and someone puts something on the sidewalk or the street? You go airborne. It's not a slow thing. It's a quick thing that stops you in your tracks. And I sensed it. I've been sensing it. We had a great time on Tuesday, yesterday. With great revelation that I can share with you, but I'm not. Until we deal with this spirit. When the Bible says that we must be careful on how we carry the ark, it speaks of the anointing. Let me get in some of y'all's business for a little bit. Some of y'all just let anybody get in your life. Some of y'all just let anybody speak into your life. And you let any kind of influence take you out of the very thing God is calling you to do. Some of it is yourself, your own emotions. Some of your own setbacks. The enemy's going to use that. And for others, it's thinking that you have everything in control because you're so smart that you can do it. How's that been working for you? Hasn't. The greatest gift that God has given us is will to surrender. If we can surrender, watch what things will begin to happen for us. But if you don't want to surrender, keep that very thing in that cycle that you've been going through. Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. This is a shepherd talking to you. And if you think a shepherd has to be loving and caring, start running out there again. Start running out there again. I'm going to clean you up. I'll clean you up with the staff. And then to put, those ticks, you know what ticks do, right? They suck blood out, life. We all get in a place we shouldn't be, and ticks get on us. Now, the shepherd has to stop to clean that up. He has to get the liniment. And liniment is a big thing. It's nasty. it suffocates the very tick. So you know what it is. You put Vaseline on a tick, it suffocates. And they let go and they come out. Well, that's what liniment is. So guess what the shepherd has to do? He has to pick up that dirty, filthy thing and put it right next to him. He gets filthy. He gets dirty. He gets ticks on him. He's got to put the liniment on that very sheep. But if that sheep continues to go out and do this by himself again, break his leg so you don't do it again. You're going to learn your lesson this time. So you don't do it again. You all know what we do. Y'all know it. Don't look at me. Man, I didn't want to go to church. I knew I shouldn't have went to church today. You know, that's the whole reason why you should have came to church. Because we go through this thing all the time. We get to a certain place where we're beginning to gain momentum. We're beginning to climb. And then all of a sudden, we slide back down. What caused the slide? That very thing that did it last year, last month, last week, last night. We've got to see it when it's presented to us, what we're going to do. Whew. Someone's indecisive about a decision that needs to be done. Let me help you, brother. Do it. Whoever you are in here, do it. Because you stringing along and not knowing what you're going to do and what if this and what if that. You better make a decision now. Because you're hurting some folks. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, Pastor's happy. I am. I am. I'm happy after this message. Because it's going to set me free too. Amen. So now look to your neighbor and say, are you happy? Let's get happy. Come on. Look at the other neighbor. Let's get happy. Yeah, some of them are looking at each other. I don't know about you, but I am happy. You're looking at me like I'm unhappy. I'm happy. Quit looking back at me. Sit down, Michael. Sit down. We're going to the next one. Next one after that. All right. If you don't know what's going on, a lot. There's a calendar in the back. But we got many things going on. Tomorrow night, School of Prophecy. Friday's Aliens. On the 20th, we have Women's Heart to Heart. We just got the location set. I've got flyers that are being made. Turned out pretty nice, didn't it? That's right, baby. Thank you. All right, home groups on the 28th will be the barbecue at 4 o'clock. It's a barbecue. Stand up, Eric. Okay, is that Eric? Okay, I just saw the glory of God on him. That's why I just... It's going to be at his house. Make sure you get the address from him and make sure that they have the information because we're all going to do a potluck, okay? It's going to be a good old time. 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock. Amen. Next one, David. Ephesians 4:16, please. Someone get it, please. Ephesians 4:16. When you're there, say amen. You got it? Can you read it out loud here? Let me get you a mic, please. Ephesians 4:16.
Ephesians.
Oh, you're good. Go ahead.
Ephesians 4:16.
White. Turn it down. The white one, turn it down.
Sorry. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying itself in love.
Amen. Thank you, sir. You maybe said, hold on to the mic. Did you read that? Did everybody read that? Maybe a little different rendition, different version, right? But it's the same message. We're all together, working together, compacted together. You understand what compacted is, right? We're squeezed in together. Have y'all ever been squeezed before? Y'all looking at me like, yeah, Pastor, you don't know what I've been going through. No, I'm talking about being squeezed. I get some hugs from some individuals in here, and they give you a real hug. You know, you feel it. I love you. And you feel it, and as opposed to, bless you. The real squeeze is to get people together purposely. Understand? Now, it's for the working of the body, the equipping, but all in love. So don't you think that the trick of the enemy is to get you so frustrated and mad? Get you irritable? Kind of poke at the very thing you don't want no one to poke at? Right? You know the ones when they call you because, hey, I felt you in my spirit today. I'm all right. Because you're already irritable. I was just checking on you because I love you. Well, I'm fine. You don't need to check on me. I'm blessed. I mean, just hang up. You start. Yeah, I don't want. I'm not answering that call no more. I'm gonna make that call. God, you got to call him, not me. But the enemy wants to make you irritable, get you mad, get you upset, so he can change everything, your countenance, and change everything that you're doing, and you're no longer having the joy of the Lord as you're doing it. Been there before? And you know the ones when you show up to work with the person that you really don't want to work with, but that's the one that you got assigned to work with, and that's the one that you have to do the task that the manager has given you to do it, and you don't want to do it. Guess what happens? The task doesn't get done, or if it does get done, it gets done, well, you know, halfway. Because the joy is not in it. And if the joy is taken out of the very thing that God has given you to do, you won't do it right. How many of you like to paint in here? Raise your hand. No, real paint, like real paint. Yeah, you know, like painting walls? No, right? Wait a minute now. I said like to paint. I didn't say know how, just like. Okay, raise your hand high. Let me see. I'm going to see. Y'all like to paint, right? What is the hardest thing about painting to you when you're painting walls?
Trim,
right? Is it trim? Is that for everybody, the trim? The cut in? How many of you use tape to do that? Y'all use the tape? Y'all ain't painters. Okay. Hey, painters. Hey, painters. I put the tape. You take the tape off. There's paint that ran through and around. You just take extra time. Here it is. You can't take it off because it's been there forever, and you want to let the paint dry, and then we pull it off. We use the frog tape because the frog tape has a barrier. It gets beyond there. Now listen, what I'm trying to tell you, it takes diligence, patience to do it. You can't rush through it. Because when you rush through it, okay, let me just step in. When you rush through it, you might see little spots that are everywhere. Just, you know, you may see some running going down. Paint getting where it's not supposed to get to. Because you're in a hurry. Because the joy is not in it that you're doing it. It's like a task. I got to do it. Here's what the enemy's doing. Oh, momentum is here? Oh, I see the body of Christ moving because I look at God and what he's doing with the people. I just follow right along looking for an opportune time and I get on in there. And when I get on in, I am going to mess with them in the area where they don't have the joy. Because they're not going to do it in joy no more or in love. Now they're going to feel like they're being told to do it. Have you ever been told to do something and you really didn't want to do it? And it don't feel good. It don't feel good. When I was working at Foot Locker. I put myself to go get a job at a very young age. So I went and got a job and I was at Foot Locker. Okay? I learned the stock room inside and out. I knew how to run it. Hey, I was 16 years old. I ran it, did everything I could because I didn't want to be in the stock room much longer. It was dirty and I didn't like it. But while I was doing it, I made sure everything was in order. All my boxes were straight. The tags were all on one side. So when they came in, hey, do we have? I said, we got a size 8, 9, and a 10. What do you need? Because I knew. Then they told me, well, since you know the stock room, so why don't you come out and try the floor? I get to sell? Sure. I get to sell. Do I get commission? Yeah, you get commission. It's on. Here's the thing. I knew behind the scenes. So when the other salesman say, let me go check on that. No, we got one. We got one. Matter of fact, got two. How many you want? I started helping the other salesman. Watch this. I started helping them. Then the manager said, wait a minute, how come you're not making that sale? Well, I'm not going to steal that sale from them. They're working that customer. And that's rude for me to get in there and steal that customer because that's not ethical. Sounded good. So then the manager said, well, why are you doing that? I said, has the sales increased? He says, well, yes. I was about to talk to you about that. As long as I know what's going on in the back, I can be beneficial to everybody up here. He says, why don't you go in the management position? I'm 17. I haven't graduated yet. Why don't you take the test so when you graduate, you'll at least have a position waiting for you? Okay. I took the test. Watch this. I took the test. I passed it. I aced it. The general manager came in and says, I've heard a lot about you. You're a part-timer taking a management test, and you aced the test. You've increased sales here as a part-timer. What are you doing? I said, I'm paying attention to the little things. And when I pay attention to the little things, it makes a difference out here. And there was an increase. He goes, but you took the test. Hear me now. But I can't put you as a manager yet because you haven't graduated, and I need a diploma for you to go into management. So how many of you have taken a test with God, but you haven't seen the result of what you took the test on? You haven't stepped into that position, even though you took the test, you passed the test, but you haven't got into that position yet. Are you going to get mad because it didn't happen? Are you going to shut down because you took the test? Now I need to be promoted now. I said, wait a minute. You ain't graduated yet just because you passed the test. But if you know how to work together with people for the benefit of the big picture, the goal, I'm going to promote you quick. Just wait a minute until you graduate. Come my senior year, come my junior year. I was good at work because there was money involved. The right mama and my black Grand Prix. Black tinted windows. Limo tint. Ain't nobody seeing that. Big mistake. Watch this. I felt because I do so good at my job and money's coming in, I ain't got to worry about my schoolwork. It's playtime, party time. Mm-hmm. Since I'm a good leader, I'm going to lead all these other my friends to, well. Come my junior year, something comes up in my report card showing that, I don't know how I got there. Minus a credit, you ain't going to graduate. What you say? You ain't telling me I ain't graduating. I'm graduating. What class I fail? Algebra. And in order for me to graduate, I need to take Algebra 2. I couldn't even get Algebra 1. What happened? What I thought I was doing over here that made the difference because I passed the management test and I was 17. And now I can't graduate based on my academic results. Based on what I needed to do. Then I knew something. I knew something. I don't know what I'm saying. I can figure a way to pass this class. I'm going to sit next to someone who's smart. Look at this. Y'all. I love you, Andrew. Thank you. Because they're looking at me like, oh, Pastor, you a cheater. I'm a copycat cheater left and right. I got in there at Churchill High School, summer school. Mm-hmm. And then I get in, I see the first brother to sit down. I said, he's the first one in class. I'm going to sit next to him. His name happened to be Young with the N, Chinese man. I looked at him. Can I sit next to you? He says, yeah, why? I said, because I don't know none of this. Can you help me? And I'll give you a ride home every day. If you want to go to lunch, I'll drive you. I got a car. I'll buy you lunch if you need it. I said, no problem. He told me, just don't copy everything like me. You got to miss some. I said, wait a minute. Why are you in here anyways? He goes, I'm a freshman. I want to graduate early. So you understand this now? Because, yeah, I got an A's in all my classes. I'm going to sit next to you. Sometimes all my tests, almost identical. I had to miss a couple of them. Those are the ones I tried on my own. I still miss them. But hold on now. Hold on. Y'all look at me. Pastor, you are something else. Isn't it just like some people that are opportunistic? They look for every opportunity to get what they want. And how they're going to get it. They're going to hook up to somebody else that already knows it. So they can just make the easy ride to get what they want. That's what the devil does. I'm looking for every opportunity to get to your weakness. And once it's there, I'm going to make sure to get what I want. So every time you give him a little inch, he's going to take more. And you're not going to recognize it because you've gone so long doing it. It's become a part of you. You understand? And this is what I feel that the enemy's doing. He says, I'm going to use that very thing that you think grace has covered it. Grace. Jesus died for you. Your sins are forgiven. Do it again. Do it again. Don't worry about it. Grace. That's your ticket. Because he loves you. Do it again. Do it again. Let's not forget what Jesus said every time he forgave somebody. Sin no more. See, some of y'all went immediately to fornication, adultery. You start kind of going back through that checklist of all these different sins. Sin was leaving Jesus. That's the sin. And it makes it easier to see the fruit of you leaving Jesus. How is that? Because you no longer try to walk right with God, you try to walk right with you. And you start seeing all the fruits of different things. Right? Okay. Go to the next slide, please. I started this series, The Team That Makes the Dream Work, right? All your efforts and talents are needed to make the dream work. That's one. Gave you three steps for effective teamwork. Care for one another. That's the bunching. That's getting together. All right? Communicate with one another. I mean, communicate. That's common union in conversation. That's a two-way street, not someone just talking to you, yelling at you, telling you what you're supposed to do, and then you don't have a chance to respond. That's not communication. That's not dialoguing, too. We have to talk with each other. You know, like when you ask your children certain things, and all they do is get mad at you and lie at you. Never mind. Stop. I didn't do that. I know what I mean. I told you the truth all the time. All the time. Okay, number three, your rights must take second place. In other words, it's not about you. It's about others. See, when I saw that in at Foot Locker, I knew that as long as I was helping people, I was being successful. But the enemy used that as well, saying, be successful, and I'll tear this part over here up. Because you're more focused on what you're doing right over here. And the things that you should have been doing that you knew were right to do, school, you know, school. Hello, children in here. School. Uh-huh. You don't pass just because you show up. Mm-mm. No, it's work because you got to work at it. Just trying to help you guys in here. And you young girls in here. School is not for you to go in there and just socialize all the time. Or to look at what they've got. And come home and say, I ain't got. That ain't what school's about. Or the new fad come out. Well, I'm going to stop now. But it's second place. That's how you make an effective team. Now, the team is not just in ministry or at school. It's at home. It's at home. Getting your kids together. Having family meetings. And when you hear that family meeting or you get the family meeting text, you're like, oh, here we go. I'm going to get it now. I'm already wrong, I guess, whatever. Right? Most kids do that. And they don't respond to that text, right? They don't respond to that text. We're having a family meeting. Come on down for dinner. That's the one they don't respond to. But every text, every Instagram, every Facebook, everything else, they respond to immediately. But the parents. Have you parents experienced that before? Or is it just me? Yeah, two people. Some of y'all are like, no, I whoop them if they don't respond. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all need to hear that. Amen. Whoop. No, I'm just playing. Just playing. This is going on the podcast. I'm not condoning whipping. Whooping. Well, maybe I am, because this generation just gotten away totally from the authority and doing what they want to do because it feels good. Uh-huh. The Bible said, what? If you spare the rod, you spoil the rod. Did he mean a real rod? I got plenty of rods. I ain't gonna spoil no children here. Well, whoop it. And whoop it good. Next one. All right, listen, look at the acronyms. Team, together, everyone achieves more. Y'all heard that one, right? Look at this other one. Teamwork, together, enjoying a ministry, worshiping our righteous King. What you say? Isn't that good? Pretty good. Teamwork, together, enjoying. Just say it with me now. Enjoying. Enjoying a ministry. Huh? A ministry. Okay. Worshiping our righteous King. Teamwork. It's teamwork. You can't be a part of 18 different teams. You don't work that way. How many of you going to watch Tim Duncan play for the Spurs and the next day go play for the Lakers, then the next day he's going to go play for the Clippers? He's going to get MVP for all three teams in 1 week. No. When God sends you to a place, he sends you so that you can help the team, help the vision. Amen? It takes teamwork. That's what we got to do. Next one, sir. All right. Isaiah 65:8 out of the King James. Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. Semicolon. So will I do for my servants' sakes that I may not destroy them all. We're going to camp right here for a minute. Do you see here where it says that as the new wine is found in the cluster? Now, have y'all been to HEB and y'all test the sweetness, you know, before you buy it, right? You just buy them and then know that they're sweet? You know that you eat about six of them before you even try it, you know. Y'all go through and, okay, now look here. Pastor, wait, Pastor, you cheat over everything. Look. Now, how many, I don't want to ask this because I already get bombarded left and right with people coming against me. Before you got saved, really, like last night or Friday, how many of you like wine? Liked. Okay, look at here, look at here. Can I just ask a question? You don't have to get over-spiritualized. What kind of wine? Is sweet? Sweet red. Andale, sweet red. Okay, what else? Dry. A Merlot. Dry. What else? Chardonnay. Moscato. That's not wine. Jack Daniels. Just not wine. Hold up now. Hold up. Listen. All right. Listen, follow me. Y'all went left. You see, y'all went left. Listen, how many of you have bought a bottle of wine? Raise your hand. Okay. Okay, even the one that has no alcohol. Okay. I'm just trying to get every. No, we're like, I don't know. It's a trick question. He's going to get us. That's sin, right? No. So you bought a bottle of wine. You know, when you get a bottle, so that one grape produced that whole bottle, right? So what I'm trying to tell you here is that the cluster is the gathering for teams. It's the gathering that makes an overflow. It's the gathering that makes more than just the one. Okay. So he says, do not destroy the cluster. Do not destroy the team. I got one amen. All right. Okay. How many of you have been to a vineyard before? I'm not going to hold this against you. David, I've been to the bar. Is that the same? Listen. So you've been to a vineyard. Right, I've been to both. I was there last night, but it's all right. But in a vineyard, there's different types of grapes that they plant for different types of wine. Okay? Now, you see a straight road, do you not? How many of you have been to a vineyard that there's not a straight row? It has to be straight. Everything has to be in order. Okay. Things have to be in order for the harvester to come in to make the harvest easier to harvest. If things are out of order, then the harvester has a harder time bringing in the clusters for the harvest. So you do things in order so that it's made easier. You can drive down and see just rows and rows and rows, right? And every space in between is purposed. Not every piece of the land is supposed to have the harvest. There's some places that have to have a space in between the rows of the grapes. So that when the harvesters come, they have their place. Now I want you to think about the grapes for a minute. Not the ones at HEB. I ain't talking about those. I'm talking about the ones that are prized. That not just anybody gets to get on the vineyard and pick these beautiful things called grapes. Only people that know how to pick the right grapes. So there needs to be a space for them to work. I ain't talking about the machinery, but I'll get to the machinery in just a little bit. I didn't just come and talk to you about wine. I ain't talking about MD 2020 either. Thunderbird. Ripple. I'm talking about the good stuff. The stuff that when you go to HEB and you see that cabinet there that has the wines in there, you're like, oh my God, who's going to pay that much? There are specific grapes for specific vintage and wine. What I found as I was studying this, that you know why they put the year on the wine? It's not because how old it is. It's to let the people know where they bought it from. Okay, so you know if it's Chilean wine. And they put the year on it, you can go back in that year, in that vintage, and find out how that crop was. If it was too much rain or not enough rain, because everything is logged. So, wait a minute. They got to know when it was harvested, the time it was harvested, what year it was harvested, by just the year of that vintage will tell you everything of the condition of the soil. Not the fruit, the soil. Because once you know the condition of the soil, you'll know the condition of the fruit. Y'all thought I was just talking about wine. I ain't talking about Bartles and James either. I'm talking about the wine that when you go and squeeze the grape, the one grape that comes off of the vine, it is so sweet that even the seeds in the grape are different than the ones that haven't produced right. I'm just talking about wine. Wine. The Bible speaks of different types of soil. Speaks of different types of sowing, right? Speaks of a harvest of wheat. Speaks of the wine. Speaks of the olives. There's much to do concerning the soil. Did you know that there's some grapes that will grow in the rocky places? Up in the mountains? Different climate? And those are not in a vineyard. Those are in the open. Those are more expensive. You know why it's more expensive? Because it's harder to get to. That the critters that are down low below in the vineyards, they're not up high like that. So they're not having to worry about that. Much less to harvest that, you got to harvest it at a different altitude. So the grapes are usually darker, redder, and sweeter. So if God is planting you in a place to go higher, why do you want to be down at the very bottom? See, what happens is God will move you to a place with a cluster of people that he wants you to be with, but you think you're the vine dresser. You think you're the one that can snip, snip, and cut the whole bunch off and plant it someplace else. It don't work that way. The vine dresser is God, who will come in and begin to prune. They start snip, 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 and cutting the things that are not good for the harvest. Only God does that. When you take the shears yourself and start cutting off, I'm going to go be over here. I'm going to plant myself over here. Go on, you're going to be bitter. Premature. Mm-hmm. When it's a true grape that has been harvested in good soil, the soil that the planter knew where to put this particular one, it produces. Watch this. You can be in a great vineyard and a great crop within the same vintage, the same year, the same conditions. But even on that vine, you get those that ripe late. Said. Even though the soil's right, the condition's right, the rain's right, the sun's been shining, the birds have been singing, everything's been right, everything's good, but you have some clusters of grapes that are ready for the picking and harvesting, while others are just waiting and taking their time. And you can tell them. You can look at them. The cluster that's ready has the shiny coat around it, and it's nothing that man did. It's what God put on it. It's a natural insect repellent from the grape. So that when you bite it, it's sweet to the taste. Never bitter. You ever got a hold of somebody in your life, the Christians, you know, Christians, the Holy Ghost filled Christians, that they haven't matured? They're kind of bitter. Because they... immature. Even though the conditions are right, even though the soil's right, the rain's been good, but they're still bitter. They haven't matured. They stay small. Have y'all gone into HEB and picked one of those little grapes off of the big bunch? How do those taste? Really bitter, right? Because all y'all's faces went, ugh. Like you're biting a lemon. Don't be lying. Don't be lying. There's a cross. Could you test it? Like, ah. Now watch this. Here's something that you didn't know. And maybe you did. Just, you know, humor me like you didn't know. And look at me like, wow, Pastor. Okay, look. So when they harvest the grapes and they find that those little clusters are there, guess what? They don't cut them off. You know why they leave them? Como que tú sabes, man? They leave them on because what it does, it keeps the weight and it allows for it to continually grow to the good ones. Let me explain to you, Lucy. Mira, you'll have good clusters because the good clusters begin to hang down. The bad clusters that are immature stay up. So if the harvesters come and cut those off, what happens is there has to be a repairing process to something that wasn't good and loses the nutrients to the ones that are good. So it's better to leave them and harvest them later, but never to be used, only to be discarded. Because you can't make what's bitter better. I hope you hear this. So the harvesters know, don't touch those, don't eat those, don't select those because they're immature. Look it up yourself. Google it. Y'all Google. Just Google. It'll show you the process. Okay, for those of you who say, but that's Oster. Now we have machines. Let me talk to you about the machines. That's even more the reason why now the vine dresser has to even be more diligent to trim the height so that they're all the same height. So that no particular row grows too high that it can't be harvested. Speaks of the pride. That everybody has to be in unison at the same height, same level. Then when you get to the good vineyards that have figured out things, sometimes it's better to have it grow upside down. So that this way all the nutrients come down to the grapes, and what's hanging is the good grapes. And what is still remaining can be harvested later with never hurting the good, precious grapes. You see them? So the vine dresser has to cut through all these bushes, all these trees to make sure they're even on every side. Because when the machine comes, the machine, you would think, I didn't know this. I thought the machine comes through, just rips that whole thing. But that would be like God saying, okay, now when it's time for harvest, I'm going to tear you up. That's not how God does it. He does things very delicately. And the machine, the harvesting, it cradles that row, and it goes right over it. And on the inside, it has these like hands. And all it's doing is just shaking the branches. And the heavy clusters fall and get taken up. But the clusters stay connected to the vine. See, when God is pruning us and going through that process to make new wine, new revelation, and to have the new joy of the Lord in us, we still need to stay connected to that vine, even though we've been harvested. Then the process comes later where it separates the grape from the vine. Then the process. Y'all have seen that one where Lucy's in that, you know, I Love Lucy, when she's in there and she's making her faces and squish, 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 squish. Right? Y'all seen that one? Have y'all seen I Love Lucy? It's classic. It's the best one. Okay. Now watch this. Watch this. Now they're going through and they're crushing the grapes. But if you notice, it's coming out at the bottom of the barrel. Okay. When you're being crushed to be used of God, because he'll crush you. He's just taking off the skin. So that the juice can come out. The sweetness. Okay? So then the flesh is discarded. But only the juice remains. See, God is trying to get us to understand that he wants us all together to be a cluster, but not to be single. When you ever run across an individual that they think that they're the ones, walk away, because they ain't the one. They ain't the one. I know it's Valentine's week. I know it. Just because they give you that heart-shaped candy box that they get at HEB or they get from Walgreens, Eckerd, whatever. Walmart, because it's cheaper. Dollar Tree from last year, but I'm just saying. Y'all are bad. Here, baby, I love you. I got it from Dollar Tree. So when you bite in the chocolate, it's all dry. Like, ugh. Chocolate shouldn't be white. It should be, you know, like chocolate and shiny. This is white. It's dry. But listen, y'all made me lose my phone. Oh, so when they bring that and they bring the chocolate and they bring the flowers and they sing to you, they beautiful, you know, candles and cards, you know, it's just like, I love you. That may not be because it's Valentine's. They may be because they want some. Then after Valentine's, you ain't got text coming back. You ain't got no phone call being answered. Phone number been changed. Facebook shows that they single again. You ain't. What happened? That ain't the one, because they're about themselves. Remember the other one I said, number three? That their priority, they're second. Somebody else should always be first. The vision, the purpose, the goal should always be first. That's what a team does. They work together. They put things in order to make the team, the vision, go forward. You understand? But when you get a Rico Suave, they want to come into your life. Or you get a sexy Susie that just steps in. You know, Sexy Susie comes in at opportune times too. You know about beer 30. Beer 30. When you start making those phone calls and those texts that you shouldn't be making, it's about that time Sexy Susie steps in. All right now, that ain't the one. Because if Sexy Susie's the one saying, yes, you're the one, at only at 11, 12 o'clock at night, you're the only one at that moment. They want to hear this. Pastor, you have me? Go back to the grapes, Pastor. Go back to the grapes. We have revelation with grapes. We're talking about wine. I'm trying to tell you what happens when you drink that wine. You be calling Sexy Susie? just trying to help you. All right, go next slide. Woo! Look, the cluster of grapes. I want you to look that up. Not look it up. Look up here. Look at him. Y'all got me all. Woo! All right. It was that wine before it's time. Listen, we got to be in the mindset of plurality. We have to never look at ourselves as being the single one. And I'm not talking about in a relationship. We have to always look at it that we must be together with people. Jesus established it when he was walking with his disciples. He sent them out two by two. That you're never to do things alone. When you run across a joker out there in ministry, that everything is about them and they're always by themselves, they have no accountability, you better move away. Because you're about to get led astray. It's always about the body and about the cluster. There's where the wine comes from. You ain't going to get wine out of one grape. You're going to let that one grape ferment, you're going to eat a very bitter, sour wine. Okay? Stay connected to the vine. Don't disconnect from God. Don't disconnect from Jesus. You can't do that. Even through the process that you're going through, stay connected. It's going to be hard. It's going to feel like you're being ripped. You're going to be stripped. But God is doing it for your greater good. Amen. Your greater good. He's trying to get you somewhere. See, that spirit has already begun to move. It's already trying to say, oh, Lord, they're getting it. They're getting it. They're getting it. That's why you're being stripped. That's why you're being tested, because he's about to make you better and not bitter. He's about to make you sweeter instead of bitter. But when you go through the process and you get bitter, you're never going to get better. You've got to let God go through that process, begin to cut away some things that need to be cut away to make you better. Sir, can you put your hand on him? Please, Bree, can you put your hand on him, on his heart? On his heart. Sir, in the name of Jesus, I declare unto you, confusion is about to leave. You're going to get some clarity what needs to take place. And know this. Know that what God is about to bring to you is clarity and peace, because that is what's needed in your life. There has been some sleepless nights. There's been some wandering that goes on, trying to figure out, what am I to do? And I hear the Spirit of God saying, I'm going to bring some clarity because you need it. And there's going to be some peace in the area that you need it. God bless you, sir, and let God continue to move on your behalf. Keep staying connected to the vine. That's Jesus. That is, and you know this. I'm not talking to something that somebody that doesn't know. You know exactly that God has been tugging at your heart, saying, I want to get into that place to give you peace, because you need that peace. There's been some turmoil that has been going on the past two nights. There's been some turmoil. I see the phone, and it's an old phone, but I see an old phone that is being hung up like this. Hung up like this. You don't want to hear what is coming from the other phone. You don't want to hear it, so you're hanging up like this. There has been a lot of stuff that's been eating at your heart that you want to say, but you're not saying. Let the truth come out, and let that separate the thing that is causing the pain. Brother, all I can tell you is peace is coming, and let the joy of the Lord begin to give you your strength and what you need. Amen? Amen. Stay connected to the vine and let God be the vine dresser. Let him be the vine dresser. He knows what to cut away. He knows what to leave on. You may be, oh God, help me with this one. You may be around somebody that you know is very bitter, but yet you're holding the sweetness within you. And if God didn't cut that one off, it's because that one is helping you grow even more. Because the bitterness that's around you that is hurting you, and you think that's the one that's going to take you out, is the one that's actually feeding you to get better, bigger, so that when it's time to come, you've grown exponentially where you wouldn't have if they would have cut the bitter ones out. Whew. the clusters at the harvest. We need that. We can't be separated and thinking someone says, oh, I'm ready. I'm just going to cut myself off the vine. Ain't going to nobody to be there to pick you up.
Amen.
I'm ready. Clip, clip. And you're going to sit right there. Looking at the one that was bitter, now getting better. Sweet and ready or sour and bitter? Are you sweet and ready? Mm-hmm. I'm just talking to you about the grapes. Don't let me get started on Sunday about the olives. You know, just stay right here for a little bit. The grapes, there's some red ones, there's some green ones, and there is some black. The black grapes. Hey, look at here, look at here. Y'all are like, look. The darker the grape, y'all said it, not me. But since what you said is right, I'm going to get up all in there. See, y'all think it's because the juice inside is making the outside skin dark. It's not. It's because of all the elements on the outside that the darker the skin protects the inside. The skin is actually turning dark because of all the heat and the sun to protect what's inside. If you're going through the heat and you're getting black and you're getting tan, just start smiling, baby, because the sweetness is about to come out. Huh? You think you've been sun scorched? It's all right, because it's the protective barrier for what's already inside of you. So when that wine comes out, who said they like the sweet wine? That's the sweet wine. You've been going through a process? You've been going through a scorching? You've had to go without water for a little bit? You know, there's been a drought. It's only because you're drinking up everything from the soil, and you're taking everything that God has given you, even through the hardships, and God's going to turn you into something very, very sweet. Amen. Cluster grapes. Can you make a difference? Be the difference.
Well, that's all the time, folks, that we have for the House of Manna podcast today. We bless you. We love you. Thank you for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you, and may the Lord continue to shine his face upon you. Favor is on your side.